title of today's message is Strength and Danger. Strength and Danger. Can we be strong people without the willingness to face danger? And I just want you to think on that for a little bit. How would it be if we needed a fireman to come and put out a fire that is in our house, and all of those firemen that came had a dreaded fear of fire and were unwilling to approach the flames to put the fire out? That would not make much sense, would it? A fireman that respects fire is a wise thing, but a fireman that is unwilling to face the fire is not truly a fireman, is he? And when it comes to people of faith, if we are unwilling to face danger, we will not be true followers of Jesus Christ. Does your desire for comfort and safety guide your choices in life? When it comes to the steps and the choices that we make as individuals, does comfort and safety override our willingness to face danger? What price are you willing to pay for comfort and safety? The quest for comfort and safety has wasted the lives of many people. Some people have been unwilling to leave their homes. Some people have been unwilling to take risk because they are unwilling to face danger. And because of that, this one life that they have on this earth has been spent for the desire to have comfort and safety more than the willingness to face danger. Comfort and safety does not produce strength. No matter how good we get at being comfortable, no matter how much we desire to be safe, if those are our goals in life, we will not become people of strength. Comfort and safety does not develop faith. I want you to look at this for a minute. Do we live a crossless faith? Do we embrace a faith in Christ that is unwilling to embrace the cross? That his word tells us we must be willing to take up daily. For many, faith is crossless. And we're going to describe and talk about what that really looks like. Faith that is strong is willing to surrender comfort and safety for a higher purpose. And then faith that is strong embraces danger and is willing to reject the comforts of life. If we want to be people of strength, we must be people that are willing to face danger. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. I want us to read those this morning. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Verse 25. "For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." To choose strength, we must choose danger. If comfort is higher then my willingness to face danger, then I am aligned to spend this one life God has given me and waste it upon my desire for safety and comfort above the desire to walk in strength. Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, the choice of true disciples from a wish and a desire into action steps, and Jesus lays those out very clear for us. Jesus makes clear the dangerous cost of being his disciple. And I want to look at what I mean by the willingness to face danger. Throughout Scripture, faith that was developed by any of the examples that Christ gave us was also teamed with danger. And these examples are set before us, and we will take time to look at some of those over these next few weeks. Without their willingness to face danger, their faith would have never grown. But danger is a willingness to risk. The opposite of danger is preservation. You know, I would do this, but I don't want this to happen. I prefer to keep my comfort and safety preserved. I am not willing to risk the danger of those steps. Preservation. The opposite of danger is preservation. And what are we seeking to preserve when we are unwilling to face danger when it comes to faith? Weakness preserves our flesh. Weakness allows our flesh to live on and be that which we base our steps in life. Flesh is that fallen nature that seeks to hold on to life when Christ has asked us to die to that flesh. Weakness also preserves our will. If we're unwilling to face the danger of dying to our will and living for the will of Christ, then our rejection of that danger is a preservation of our will lifted up above the will of God. To choose strength, we must be willing to die. Faith that does not have a willingness to take up the cross of danger, the cross of death, is a faith that will take us nowhere. Strength, again, is a willingness to die to our flesh, to die to our will, and to live, we must be willing to die. Let's look back at verse 24 again of Matthew chapter 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He must deny himself. Deny is death and danger. To deny ourselves is embracing a willingness to die to this old flesh and this old man. Without a willingness to face the danger and the death of denying ourselves, our will rise above the will of God. And in that power of denying self, the fullness of strength is seen. To choose strength, we must take up our cross daily. To choose strength, we must take up his cross assigned to us. then we see this. The cross is a symbol of death. When I was a child, I remember being at my church, and after the service, I remember they talked about the cross in the service. I think it was around Easter time. And I still remember this image of the cross stood as something beautiful to me as a child. As I said earlier, the particular church that I went to was built in the 60s, and when you walked in, there was this huge stainless steel cross, very modern looking, that stood in the center of the sanctuary. It was beautiful. So in all of my images of the cross, when I thought about the cross, I thought about a gold chain with a beautiful cross that people would wear, or even at the point where the cross, people would put flowers on the cross or put linen on the cross. And it was viewed as something very beautiful. But then, as a child, I thought the cross was the instrument that represented death to countless people. In fact, when Jesus looked upon the cross, he knew that that was a tool not for life, but a tool for what? Death. But for me, I image the cross as this easy thing to digest, this beautiful image. Yet then as a child, it hit me really deep in my spirit. And I thought, what today, and this was in the 60s, maybe early 70s, what is the equivalent to a cross today? In the day that I'm living in, this image came to my mind of the electric chair. And then I remember going to my pastor and saying, "Pastor, if Jesus had come now and died now, would we walk around with golden electric chairs hanging around our necks? Would the church have an image of an electric chair rather than a cross?" And I still remember him kind of looking at me. He kind of grinned a little bit, but then he thought. He was like, if that was the instrument that led to Jesus' death, it would have been that. So that kind of stayed in my heart. Because we think of the cross in a pleasant way, not a way that always envisions upon us the thought of death. But the cross is a sign of life, but it is also a clear sign of death. The cross is a symbol of danger. The cross also is a symbol of strength. The cross is what Jesus has commanded his disciples, those that say they follow him, to take up daily in our lives. See, the cross in our lives will come to us every day. Right now, this morning, when you arose, this day represented a day for you to take up the cross. You could have woken up with the attitude of joy, an attitude of having forgiveness in your heart for the challenges that you face this week. But maybe you woke up in that mindset of unforgiveness, and the cross was represented to you, presented to you. Will you take it up and walk in the will of God and forgive? Or will you continue to lay down that cross and follow self rather than following the will of Christ? Could have been something a little tougher. Could have been your desire to find your comfort in something that God has told you is flat out sin and disobedience to Him. Yet it is so wedged in the heart, so woven in the past of leaning on it, that it is not easily surrendered. For it has been the place where you have found your refuge, but you know it is no refuge from God. It is only an antidote to the comforts of the flesh. When God says it doesn't belong in your hands, in your vision, or in your reference of choice, meaning it is not for you as a follower of me. So the cross represents a surrender to the will of God, a rejection of that substance that has been the medication for you. When God says, I call you to be of sound mind and not one that is filled with the intoxication of a substance that I never meant to live in you. Take up that cross and die to what we're leaning upon. We know this. Crosses will be of different sizes, and they will be plentiful in our day. And my question is this. Do you recognize the cross that Jesus has asked you to bear and to pick up? Because in contemporary Christianity today, we are guilty of preaching a crossless faith. And a crossless faith will never lead us into becoming the disciples that Jesus has called us to. He did not call us to comfort. He did not call us to living a life without strength, that comes through the willingness to face danger. As I said, crosses come in many different sizes in our lives. Some seem bigger than this. Some are very obvious to us and seem like they're more than what we can bear. So we surrender to our will and we allow that cross to just remain on the ground when Christ has asked us to pick it up. Years ago, when we first started Capital City Church, I had this in my heart. And I remember getting my little jigsaw out and making this for our first place of worship. And the thing that stood out to me about my journey of picking up the cross is that it is impossible to pick up the cross that is destined for my life without the strength of the Holy Spirit. And it reminds me that it is not by my faith, it is not by my power that I am able to pick up the crosses of my life, but it is by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us as truly born again people Are we willing to take up the cross, no matter the size? Again, the cross comes in various sizes. The cross will come daily. And if I am unwilling to bear that cross, I introduce to my life, I preserve in my life a crossless faith that has no power, that will not change who I am and will have no lasting effect in my life. And granted this knowledge, the cross is headed in our direction. Not every other year. The crosses will come daily. To choose strength, we must take up God's will. The cross represents the will of God. There's no better way of saying it. It is either trusting in the wisdom that God has by grace revealed to our hearts, and he sets it before us, but it's there, not forced upon us. But it is an opportunity to reach out in faith and pick up the will of God and allow that will of God to be lived out in the steps in our lives. And it comes in so many different dimensions. The cross, again, represents the will of God. Take up God's will, no matter the danger. What does the danger look like? You know, if I give my heart to Christ, if I walk after his will, I may be looked at in a negative light by the friends that I've surrounded myself with. Pick up the cross. Because the friends that are seated to satisfy our flesh are not friends of life at all. I'll have to give up my comfort. It'll be too difficult for me than live weak. It won't be what I want, then let flesh continue to lead. For there is nothing that God will request of us that isn't for our highest good and our greatest strength. Nothing. Nothing. No matter how dressed up it is, no matter how conditioned it is to speak into our lives, no matter the propaganda that comes, it cannot compare to the life-giving wisdom that God has for us, the life-giving power of taking up the cross. What are we seeking to preserve? That's a good question. For that which we give preservation to becomes the foundation that we stand upon. Choose strength. To choose strength, we must follow Christ to the cross. Let's go back to verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me," is that what faith is? Following Christ, right? Is that what being a disciple of Christ is? What being a Christian is following who? Jesus. He says plainly, if that is your heart, this will be the actions of your steps. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. Why? Because self will lie to us. Self will be all about keeping flesh alive and keeping our will alive. We must be willing to die. We must be willing to face the danger of death to our will and to ourself and take up his cross. He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. A crossless faith is the preservation of weakness. The heart that is pliable is the heart that can see the cross that Christ is destined for us. If my heart is pliable, then mercy and grace allows me to see the cross that Jesus has asked me to take up. Meaning this, that which Jesus has demanded to die in us. The attitude that is seated so much in self. In the study that we've been in, the devotional study about gratitude is one of the things that destroys joy and peace is the unwillingness to thank God for what he has allotted for us, the boundaries that he has set for us. And focusing in on what someone else's blessings are, we lose sight of the blessings that God has given us. But how can I see that in me is a covetous spirit? By mercy and grace, he shows it to me. And I say, God, may I rejoice in what you have destined for me and rejoice in how you have blessed others and not live a life that is coveting what someone else has. That's mercy to see it. Die to a covetous heart. A crossless faith is the preservation of weakness. The quest for comfort and safety has wasted the lives of countless people. And here's a question for us living in 2020 right now. We are poised to see the distortion that fear can do to a society in hyper speed. Now let me just make this point clear. Recently I heard a psychologist that gave information about the amount of people that are seeking counseling for depression and mental challenges that are happening in their lives. And at one point prior to COVID, this was this guy's statistic, it was about 20% of those in America were seeking out help for mental challenges, depression, anxiety, different challenges of the mind and the heart. But since COVID, it's increased to 40%. As I've said before, depression increasing, suicide increasing, because fear is what? Increasing. Fear will never produce strength. So right now, if we live another year under the pressure of fear, what will become of our society? So we have a choice. The quest for comfort and safety has wasted many, many people's lives. Life equals risk, doesn't it? Doesn't it? We cannot live in fear. I have some good news for you today. In September, the CDC posted the survival rate numbers of those who contracted COVID. And it is not bad news, it is tremendous news. September 2020, for those between the ages of 0 and 19, if contracted, if they contracted COVID, the survival rate, listen to this closely, was 99.997% survival. That's some good news, isn't it? That's tremendous news. If you were at the age of 20 to 49, the numbers from the CDC as of September 2020, the survival rate for those between the ages of 20 to 49, listen close, was 99.98% survival. If they got it, that's the percentage of people that walked away to tell the story. Here's another age group. From 50 to 69 years of age, those that contracted COVID, 99.5% survival rate. That's a hallelujah to say. I can say what? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then in the higher risk age from 70 plus, for those that contracted COVID, the survival rate was 94.6%. Can you say, thank you, Jesus? Personal story. I have an aunt, the last living sibling of my father. Precious lady. A number of years ago, she contracted leukemia. And again, possibly through blood transfusion during a surgery. And so she had to start taking chemo tablets. It has been for many years. She works hard to stay in wonderful shape, but she contracted COVID. Both lungs were infected. In the hospital, fear was all over the family. She's in the high, high risk age. They administered two types of medication to her. And I celebrated Thanksgiving with her on Thanksgiving Day. And she looked better than she has looked in a number of years. To the point, when I went to give her a hug, I felt her arm. And I felt a muscle there, a strong muscle. And I said, what's going on? And she says, I've been working out. She's been working out. And thank God for overcoming such a horrible, horrible potential death. Fear will tell us, don't risk, stay where you're at. Now, we recognize this, there's certain risk groups that need to be that much more cautious, no doubt, pre-existing conditions. But if we as a people do not see the potential that arises in a heart that is unwilling to risk danger, the society that as we know it will not produce what God has created us to produce. And when it comes to the church and when it comes to our faith, comfort and safety does not produce strength. If I'm unwilling to face the danger of death, when it comes to what Christ is called to die in me, if I am so fearful to guard my comfort more than guarding the hope and the plans of God, And I do not take up the cross that Christ has asked me to take up. I surrender to the will of myself, and I reject the will of God. I want us to look at this scripture this morning. This goes along with our Advent.